sometime. And so, but we thank God that there's no spiritual drought. That,
amen.
Not for the bride, maybe for the world, for the church, but for the bride, the water is plenty.
Amen.
And so we thank him and praise him for that. Now, let us just bow our heads as we look to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come humbly before you this morning with thanksgiving, with praise and glory to your name, Lord, to identify you, Father, to identify your life, to identify the resurrection, to identify your presence with your bride in this last day. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, and we commit all things to you. And we ask that you would just have your way, that you would speak to each heart here, those on the hookup, Lord, those that would listen. And Lord, that you would just let your word be so real, Father. Lord, quickened to every heart. And Lord, we know that that's the promise, that's the word, that it will to the bride. And Lord, to the others, they're blinded to it. They'll never see it. They might catch a glimpse of something. They might feel the anointing. They might get excited. They might even falsely assume that they're children of the King. Lord, but only those, Lord, that were in you before the foundation of the world. Only those that can recognize your presence in this day. Lord, those are the only ones. And Lord, that's your word. That's your promise. You're the one that spoke it. And we thank you and praise you. And Lord, let us surrender daily to you in all things. So we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. Once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord. And now we are coming down to Brother Gumbo will be returning now on Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon around 2, I think, in the afternoon. And so we know that he'll be tired. It's been a busy trip for him, I know. Yesterday, I think he was in Moringa, and then today back in Thika. And so we trust that the Lord has blessed him and given him a good trip. And I know he's been a blessing to the people there. That's where his ministry has been so great. He's traveled across the country there, Kenya, Uganda, different countries. I think he went to Ethiopia one time, not this trip, but I'm talking about over the years. He's went many, many places, and he's helped many people. And so we thank God for that and for his desire to be constantly in the service of the Lord.
Amen.
And now we just greet those that are on the hookup this morning. We've seen Sister Evelyn there and Brother John Peter, Brother Benjamin, maybe some other ones, I'm not sure who. But we greet you in the name of the Lord, and we just ask that the Lord will bless you. And now we've been in this thought now, God's eternal and everlasting covenants. We're on part 21, and I know I keep changing that. Sometimes it says God's everlasting and eternal covenant. Sometimes it says God's eternal and everlasting. And I think this is actually the right way to say it. But I've changed it a couple times just accidentally, but this time I changed it on purpose. We thank him. And so I wanted to, each time I've been trying to have some type of little subtitle, and this time I didn't get it down to one. I didn't get it critiqued here. And so I left all of these in, and so I'm going to read all four of them. All the fullness is in him.
Amen.
That's the scripture. That's the prophet. All the fullness is in him. So everything's in him. So, you know, there's places, and we may read it at some point in time. I don't know. But Brother Branham said the millennium is in him. The new heavens and new earth, it's in him. The bride is in him. Healing is in him.
Amen.
Everything is in him. It's all in him. Because he is all things, and he by him all things consist. And so we have those scriptures. I think we'll read that on Wednesday night. That he's the fullness of redemption. He's the fullness of salvation. He's the fullness of happiness, joy and peace and everything. He's the fullness of healing. All healing comes from him. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It all comes from him. And so all that we have need of, it is in him. And we thank him and praise him for that. And now, we're in an older message this morning. This is in 1955, The Power of Decision. And Brother Branham takes a scripture here in Numbers, and I'm going to read it because I came right up to it. And he's just going to talk a little bit at the beginning, but I want to let him say what he was telling the people there, and then we'll go into he'll tie into the lesson that we're in. So in paragraph 19, he said, "Now over in Numbers, the 13th chapter, in the 30th verse, we read this: And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Now, Brother Branham, when he said it, he always said, "more than able." Well able means more than able to overcome. And so we know that when the spies came back, that there was 12 of them, 10 of them gave a negative report, and two of them gave this report: "Let us go up at once, and let us possess it. Let us possess the promise that we have just beheld with our eyes of what God has given us. The reason that God brought us out of Egypt is before us, and we've seen it with our eyes. And now if they've seen it with their eyes, that this thing that God has went to all of this work, we won't call it, it was a small thing for God, but he's destroyed a whole nation. He destroyed their economy, he destroyed their livestock, their families, their firstborn, everything. He's brought pestilences upon the land. He's turned the water into blood. He's brought fleas and flies and everything else. And he's did all of this. And now he's brought them out. Then as they pursued them to the Red Sea, he destroys their army. He destroys the whole thing. And now, if that wasn't enough to give the people faith. And you remember, we read as we closed on Wednesday night, where Brother Brent, we read where the gift was in manifestation, where he was discerning the secrets of the heart. And he's saying, this identifies God. This identifies these visions, these prophecies, these things identify the presence of God in the day and hour that we live. He said, just as it was in the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Sodom, so is it right here before you, the exact same thing. God in flesh identifying himself for the elect of that day, because that's who he's identifying to. The other ones, they can't recognize it. They say, oh, well, he was a prophet. He was a good man. He was this, he was that. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has an opinion, but there is a group of people that are beyond opinion. They have, by revelation, recognized the presence of God. They have recognized that all these things that are being done are actually the God bringing his bride into himself. And so it's a great thing. And so now here Caleb is quieting the people down, and he's telling them, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are more than able to overcome. And so he didn't look at the circumstances as the other ones were. He was looking at the promise. He was looking at everything God had already done and now brought them to this day. They went in there and they brought back evidence of the land. They brought back the grapes and they seen it with their own eyes. They were witnesses. And they were witnesses identifying the promise of God. And so we're going to read that as we go along today. Now, may the Lord add his blessings to his word. And last evening, the last two evenings, we've been teaching just a little short session of the book of Exodus, the calling out of the people of God, because we believe it's essentially in this day. What do we believe? We believe that that book of Exodus is living, essentially is living today in this people. Because that was showing in the natural there what this people was going to do in the spiritual. As they were coming out of Egypt, we were coming out of spiritual Egypt. And so we were coming into a promised land. They were coming into a promised land. But our promised land now is the real one. That you say, that was just a natural, fleshly, material thing. This is the spirit. This is the real thing. This is what God had in his mind. That was just a type of it. So this is the real thing. That wasn't the real thing. See? And here, I remember a few years ago, I was a year and 6 months in my church teaching on the book of Exodus. Now, I just wanted to drop that in there because he was sharing it. And it made me feel good that he just took his time. And so I've been so slow. And sometimes I feel like I'm going too slow. And then I read something like this and it encourages me. So, but this was a year and 6 months in the book of Exodus. Now, watch what he did with Job. And I was 2 years one time on Job. Could you imagine? 2 years. And I remember I had Job on the ash heap for about 4 weeks. Every Sunday, there was Job on the ash heap. Can you imagine? You think, as a minister, those of you out there that are ministers, you think, you on the ash heap, service after service after service, right there. But that prophet could just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's the beauty of this message. That's the beauty of the Bible. It's the beauty of the mind of God. It just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. So it just matters. The only thing that is holding you back is that level of desire that you have. Because if you want more, God's going to take you deeper because it's in there. It's as much as you want. That's what they say about mathematics. That's what they say about music. It just, there's no end to it. It just goes and goes and goes. And it gets deeper and deeper and greater and greater. And so that's the way God is. You're never going to get overdo it. You're never going to get too much. You're never going to exhaust it. As Paul did in his day, he went beyond his teacher. No, the Holy Ghost is the teacher today. You're not going to go beyond it. He'll take you as far as you want to go. As far as you want to go. So, every Sunday I had Job on the ash heap. Such a beautiful story. God dealing with the saints. And how that we get in those places and distress. And don't know where to turn. And I was working for a climax. See? And one dear sister, bless her heart, she didn't want to hurt my feelings. She said, Brother Branham, I enjoy every minute. But when are you going to get Job off that ash heap? Oh my. Well, see, God brought him off all right with a victory. And he did. And God's victories are always so great and so wonderful and so powerful. And that's what it was down in Egypt. That's what it was for Moses. That's what it was for the children of Israel, especially for the elected. Now, it was a glorious thing just to come out under the supernatural, to see the power of God, to see. I'm sure that when the prophet, that seventh angel was traveling the world and the healing ministry and all of those brothers that was around him, all of those ministers, they had to be rejoicing. They had to be just praising God to see the supernatural, to see the dead raised and the blinded eyes opened and flesh healed and all of that thing. And yet, but still in their carnal mind, they had an idea. And that's the reason why they would try to pull the prophet this way and that way and this way and that way. Because they didn't recognize that God was leading this man, and he didn't need no man-made help. He didn't need any intellect. He didn't need any theology. He didn't need anything else. He had the Holy Spirit leading him and guiding him. And that's where the bride is. And when we can recognize it, then instead of running out to somebody else to get that direction, we'll be still and wait on God. And we'll ask God, what will it be? As we said the other day, the brother saying, Lord, bring it back to our remembrance. How is this supposed to be? You've seen this before the foundation of the world. How is this to be, Lord? You know. Let me see it. Let me give me that leading of the Holy Ghost. See, I love those old nuggets, don't you? And I tell you, we certainly done some prospecting one year in this book of Exodus, digging all them jewels up and shine them. And we found out that every jewel in the book of Exodus was just a piece off of the chief cornerstone that pointed to the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Now listen to this. Oh, And in him dwells the fullness of all the Godhead bodily. All of our redemption. How much of it? The fullness of redemption rests in him. It's in him. See, every bit of it. All of our salvation, the fullness of it is in him. That's right. All of our joy and peace, everything. The fullness of it. See, all of our healing, all that we have need of, rest in Jesus Christ right there. That in him, we can all be blessed together. The fullness of it, the fullness of all of it is in him. And that's what we're talking about. Not redemption in part, not salvation in part, not healing in part. Now we've come to the fullness of all of it. And under all of those covenants that they were under, down through the ages, they had a part of the promise. They had a part of salvation. They had a part of the true healing. They had a part of everything they had need of, but they couldn't be made perfect without us. Why? Because the fullness of it hadn't come. And so it was going to take the rest of it to make the fullness. It had been coming and coming and coming again. And now God brought the fullness of it together. He's capped it. He's capped the body. That body that he was building all the time. We look back now. We look at the scripture. We look at the Bible. We look at the message in a totally different light. With a totally different understanding. Instead of reading it and think, okay, here was a story about these people and what they went through in that day. No, what we see when we read the Bible is we see a body. We see a body that God was building. We see the Word building, a body of Jesus Christ that was building, that he was going to cap, that the headstone was going to come to, and was going to be the complete body of Jesus Christ, so that he could be seen and touched and felt and known in every way. That the true fellowship, the full fellowship, not that which is in part, not what was a type, that not which was a symbolic, but now real, genuine communion with his wife. Praise be to God. Coming together one in the Word. Notice how we thought first, took the subject of this book of Exodus, and we find three principal powers. The power of Satan, see? Number one is the power of faith. And number two is the power of God. And then we find out that Satan began to display his power always first. Satan's always trying to jump out in front of God. You know, it finds out God's going to do something, Satan tries to jump out there and show his power. And so God shows his power through faith. It is by revelation that God shows his power. And then so we see the power of God manifested to identify and to display the promise of the hour. Of what God had in his mind, this is what I wanted to do in this day. This is the part of the body that's going to manifest in this day. Another part, another step, another revelation is coming forth. See? And then Satan is trying to pervert that, upset that, distort that, so that the people don't recognize the presence of God in their day. He's been very effective. Thousands of years, very effective. He's deceived them all the way through. But God, through the power of faith, the power of revelation, has revealed what he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. So, watch these little things when they boil up and start at first. Now, watch this little thing. You know mushrooms grow up at overnight and they die the next day. Mushrooms grow up overnight and they die the next day. But it takes a long time for an oak tree to come. But he's really rooted and grounded when he gets there. And that's what it is. God, for thousands of years, he planted that oak. And it's been growing and growing and growing. And now it's come to the full stature, the full body that God had in his mind. And those mushrooms were popping up in every age. And then they'll die. And popping up and dying and popping up and dying. See, paragraph 21. So the devil usually starts with a little flare. And so, watch it. He tries to cut off the move of God. Every time he will do that. And he's still the same devil. uses the same techniques that he did in the old days. He still uses them today. If we could only read the Old Testament, then we'd learn the tactics of the devil, how that he does. And so we find out that his power, he had power, and that power was death. See, both natural, spiritual, Satan has power. But he had no power beyond that. Now think about what he's saying. Satan's power is death. But he has no power beyond death. See? He just death ends his power. Then beyond death, faith sees the God of resurrection. Faith does. See? After the devil's end to the power of death, then he's finished. And the devil can do no more. Praise be to God. Now, so we take it in the spiritual. We take that in the spiritual. Once we die to the world, once we die to the things of Satan, once we die to that nature, then he has no more power, no more effect, no more control. Now we are now guided by the power of revelation. Now when Satan is put to death, now God takes over. Now we're in full control, full surrender to God in every way. That's right. The devil can do no more. See? But after death, faith sees the resurrection. A God of resurrection. That's the power of faith to believe. See? What is that resurrection? The power of faith to believe. Because that seed on the inside has been quickened. And when it's quickened to bring revelation, to bring recognition, to you recognize that you were a son of God before the foundation of the world. See? And when standing over behind that dark cloud, you can't see with your natural eyes. But faith, standing by you, directs you to that God of resurrection. And a God of all wisdom who has ordained our path. Praise be to God. See, he's standing just behind every trial. Huh? Right there. That's when that cloud is there. And that cloud is that thing that's trying to make you doubt. And you're thinking, I don't see the way. I don't see the answer. I don't see what to do in this situation. But faith is standing right there. Right there waiting. That resurrection is right there. It's in you. Once you've died, it's in you. And those trials can still come. But it has nothing on you no more. It has no power over you no more. No, now you are living by revelation. Every son, see? Let me back up. He's standing just behind every trial. Oh, I love it, don't you? To know that Peter said that every trial is worth more to us than gold for its working. See? What's it doing? It's building character. Building character. Every son that cometh to God must first be tried, scourged, and chastised. And if you get a little heartache after you get born again, and a little trial that upsets you somewhere, and you run back to the world again, it shows that you wasn't a child to begin with. You become an illegitimate child and not a child of God. See? If a man once anchors his heart against the heart of Calvary, all devils in hell will never shake him no more. He's there. See, notice, he cannot, for he that cannot stand chastisement is an illegitimate child. He claims God to be his father when he's not. He's just tossed about by every wind of doctrine, not stable, and don't know where you're going. Double-minded, and a lot of times double-tongued. That's right. And don't know where you're standing or what you're talking about. Well, that's the opposite of what he said about the Son of God. A Son of God cannot be shaken, cannot be moved, cannot be hindered. Once the new birth has taken place, it's done. And this is a life of revelation. Every day is a life of living in the resurrection. That word coming back to full recognition, to recognizing fully, to realize in every way what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world for you to manifest, and what he's been manifesting all down through the ages. God's been working that work to bring it to the realization. And he called it in the Church Ages book, perfect realization. See? Then, a man that's born again of the Spirit of God knows exactly where he's at. How does he know? By revelation. He's living by revelation. See? That's right. That nothing phases him because something inside of him has already witnessed somebody outside the cloud yonder. See? There's somebody beyond that cloud that Satan is trying to hide God from you. And there's somebody there who is there to give you the revelation that you need. And by faith, he sees him. We see him. Oh my, especially in this day, Brother Branham said that the veil has been taken off of God. The mighty God has been unveiled. And we see him standing perfectly, perfectly. Brother Branham said in the rapture message, he said, it's tremendous when you see God stand before the people and reveal the secrets of the heart. When you see God, when you can recognize God opening the blinded eyes and raising the dead back to life and revealing, bringing them to a resurrection, a new birth, to make them a new creature in Jesus Christ. Yes, it's tremendous when you can see it. Paragraph 23, see? Then we see how that faith confounded Pharaoh. How that Pharaoh raised up Joseph right in the castle and fed him and gave him the best and made a good strong man out of him. And he lived 120 years. Look at there. Faith confounded Pharaoh. He had all of, he ruled the world. He had everything. Everything. He was in control of everything in the natural realm. Whatever he said. But he couldn't recognize the presence and the power of God. And that's the true one that was in full control. And he thought he was. He thought he was. That's why he failed. He failed in every way. That's why he failed. And what he didn't know was, while he was against all that was God, he was raising up the vessel that God was going to manifest himself in that day. He was nurturing, just like the shuck. Just like the shuck was protecting the ear of corn, the wheat. As it was protecting it, so was Pharaoh protecting it. He wouldn't be beaten. He wouldn't be killed. He wouldn't, none of those things. He was fed properly, taken care of, the best of everything, the best in life in that day. There he was. Pharaoh had him protected and guarded and nurtured in every way. And yet, Pharaoh couldn't recognize the presence of God in his day. See? And so have we. So have we been raised up in this world. In this world that's dying. And we've been given the best of God. Not the best of the world. We've been given the best of God. We've been given revelation. When the churches are dying, when the churches are struggling, when the churches are trying to find peace, when they're trying to find God, they're trying to find the presence of God. They're searching for it. They want it. You can talk to nominal people. You can talk to these people out here that they go to church. They're trying. They're trying. They're searching and they're talking about God and they want God, but they don't recognize who he is. They don't recognize his presence. They talk about the things that are happening and that's all good. It's all good. I'm not taking away from anybody, but I'm telling you, the children of Israel come out 2 million strong, and they were all children of Israel. They were all sons and daughters of Abraham. And only two of them went into the promised land. That's the type. That's the type. It's right here today. It's the same today in every way. And so The churches are in the millions and millions and millions, and yet it's a little group. So we have the only true peace. We have the only true revelation. We have healing, the abundance of healing. We have all that it is. Just as God put Moses in the palace, God has put the bride in the palace. And this palace that we're in is called heavenly places. We are sealed in to Christ, and we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ. And Satan, trying to destroy the works of God, was being nurtured. He was nurtured. He was protecting the seed of God. And so has he in every age. So has he in every age, and he's not even knowing it. See, Brother Branham said, if Satan would have knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he would have never let him go to Calvary. Said he thought he was, but he didn't know. He didn't know. He thought this was what, but he wasn't sure. Said if he had known, he wouldn't have let him go there, because this was the thing that paid the price. See? And the devil raising up the child of God to do the work of God. How God pulled the wool over his eyes at that time. Because he's God, see? And that's exactly what God has done. He's blinded them today. In this last day, he's blinded them. And what was it down to the church ages? Huh? The two seeds were to gather. He was in the church. Christ was in the church. And there was both the wheat and the tares. They were right there, nurtured together. One was protecting the other one. And the shuck was protecting the seed until it came time for the separation. Then we find out that the children of Israel, we left them last night coming out of a trap. And tonight we're going to take the power of decision. Last night was the power of God. And how that they were led into this trap. No way at all to ever get through it. See, dark, there laid the Red Sea in front of them. And here was the mountains on either side. And Pharaoh's army coming, thousands times thousands of armored men that was come chasing right up. Looked like God led them right into the trap. See? And you know, we find out that God sometimes leads us right into a great thing. And then to show his power and his glory to deliver us. And when Moses called to God, God said, stand still and see the salvation of God. My, isn't that an encouragement? Stand still. Isn't that an encouragement in this day that God has given to the bride? That we are the most blessed people that have ever lived on the face of the earth? The revelation, the power of God, the all that has come forth. And you think, when Moses was struggling, when Moses couldn't recognize, couldn't understand what was happening, and here God said, stand still. Just be still and wait. When that prophet was in those mountains, when he was up there in that virgin forest, and he was in a dilemma, he had many things going on, and then those deer appeared, and he was going to shoot. And they went through all of that, and God said, would you like to walk with me? That offer was to the bride. What that prophet was given at that moment, to walk in that anointing, to walk in the very presence of God, is exactly what this bride has been given in this last days. That's right. Paragraph 24, then we find out that he told him to take the staff in his hand and raise his hands and go forward. And as the pillar of fire that was leading them, the great Shekinah glory that was before them in a form of a halo or a pillar of fire going before them, turned, listen to this now, it turned and it went back behind them. Amen. Oh, and sometimes people think God's leaving them. God's doing this, God's doing that, God's letting us down. No, he wasn't. No, he doesn't. He can't. See? And to the Egyptians coming, it became darkness. But it gave light, Israel light. That's right. And the very plan of salvation of God, when a man shuts up his heart against God's plan, he becomes in darkness. Did you know that? God has a way and is past finding out. And when a man rejects light, there's nothing else but darkness. Just think, the pillar of fire was leading them, guiding them. Day by day, it was there. And then, one day, here comes the enemy. Of course, they had just left out. They were just left out. Now, here comes the enemy, and it's darkness to them. Comes around behind them, still shining the light, but darkness to the enemy. Think of it in the spiritual. They're blinded today. They're blinded, and they don't know it. They don't even know it. They continued right on unto their death. They continued right on into the Red Sea where they were destroyed. Same way now it is, sinner friend of mine, tonight. When you spurn love, you must stand in the judgment. No way out of it. God gives you love first, offers it to you. But if you spurn it, there's nothing left but judgment. So accept it tonight, the love of God. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, I'm going to skip just a little bit here. So let's drop down. Paragraph 91. This is in God's gifts always find their places. You know, this was in 63. And, you know, sometimes they seem like simple little, maybe evangelistic messages, something. And sometimes he says some just outstanding things. And some real nuggets. And you just think, I read the things like Brother Ram talked about. 2 years in the book of Job. A year and a half in the book of Exodus. You know, I know when he took the lessons on Hebrews, he spent a lot of time there. When he took Daniel 70 weeks, when he started on the church ages, the first church ages, they come over the year there. I think it was in 1961. He was hitting it, the book of Revelations, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. And then somehow or another, he stopped around chapter 5. And then when he come to the seal book, there he picks it up. Chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, goes right on in. God, the prophet couldn't plan all that out. He couldn't do that. And so God was lining it all up. And then he was telling that prophet. And the prophet told us, he said he had to bring those, he gave the order about the church ages and 70 weeks and the seals and the, you know, all of the rest of it, the trumpets and the vials and the plagues. And he gave the order that it had to come in. That if he didn't preach this, you wouldn't understand this. And if you didn't preach this, you wouldn't understand this. So it was God was building on it all the time, all the time. Yeah. Paragraph 91. Now God so anointed Jesus with the fullness of himself. How much of him? Fullness. God so anointed Jesus with the fullness of himself till he was God's gift to the world. That the wise men are clearly identified. See, the wise men clearly identified him as being God's gift to the world. See, showed that in their heart they knew who he was and what he was going to do for them. See, so no wonder now, the first thing they did, they fell down perfectly in order and worshiped him. And that takes a revelation, don't it? That takes a revelation. You're not going to fall down and worship some man. How are you going to worship some baby? You know, that's in idolatry. That's in these other religions. That's in these cults. That's in that stuff out there. How did these men come now to this boy? And I'm saying he's 2 years old. And now they fall down to worship. They fall down to worship. Praise be to God. No wonder. The first thing they did, they fell down perfectly in order and worshiped him. Before they could even understand it. Before they could even understand it. And I've always said this. That's where people's problem is. They want to believe after they understand everything. That's not how it works. When you're quickened, You believe it before you understand it. You disbelieve it, and that's what brings the understanding. It's because you start testifying and identifying with that very thing. You've become a part of it now, and now God begins to reveal it all to you. See? Before they could even understand it, they fell down and worshiped him and then presented their gifts. That's the way to the real Christmas. See, worship him. Then present your gift. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's right. You want to have some Christmas presents? There's your Christmas present right there. Complete surrender to God. Give that to him and watch what it produces. Watch what happens. You'll see Jesus Christ living. But you know what? After the wise men did that, the father and mother, or the foster father, of course, and also mother, because God was both father and mother. But we find out that they accepted these gifts from these wise men. Huh? No wonder they were called wise men. They were wise. They were really had wisdom. But notice now, when they came, those parents were able, had the ability to accept what they were bringing. And that's what people are failing today. We talked about it Wednesday night, that the bride is Christ on the earth. And the bride is the manifestation. She's the one who is God's gift now. Jesus Christ was that gift. Brother Branham was that gift. Now the bride is that gift. That's where eternal life is being spoken. And the bride is speaking that eternal life, and those that can recognize the presence of God are receiving that eternal life. And so if you can't recognize it and receive it, then it turns to darkness to you. See, if men today would just be that wise, see, a man that turns away from him is an unwise man. But it takes a wise man to come to Christ. Now notice, and after then the wise men identifying him, that what he would be, the wise men identifying him, what he would be. And we find through the scripture, that's exactly what he was. Deity in service for death. Now, I'm not going to go into the gifts and what they represented, but he's talking about some of it right now. Deity in service for death. What for? Deity in service to God for death. Jesus was deity in service for death to redeem the world. But what did the world do to it? They refused it. They rejected it. Why? Some of them, a big part of them, did that because of this. Because he did die. Huh? They couldn't recognize that. That was exactly the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't recognize what they seen with their eyes. And we thank God that the power of revelation takes us beyond what we can see with our eyes. Our eyes confuse us, our mind confuses us, our emotions confuse us. But when we can look beyond all of those things and let the power of revelation, the power of the resurrection, quicken to us the reality that God has for this day and this hour. See, that they did that because he did die. They said he couldn't be deity and die. See? The man, the body, was not deity. Huh? The man, the body, was not deity. This is where they confuse it. I even have seen people, I can remember 15, when one of my first trips into Kenya, I ran into the same thing, a minister. Because we were preaching, talking about the Father and the Son, preaching on let us create man in our image. And we were talking about those things, and so immediately they were saying, oh, you're saying two gods, you're saying three gods, you're saying this, you're saying that. No, this is what we were saying right here. This is what we were saying. The man, the body, was not deity. See? But deity was in the body. That's the difference. You're not, When you talk about Father and Son, you're not talking about two gods. You're talking about God manifesting himself in a fleshly body. That's right. And that the Father is the eternal Word. That's who he is. He is the Word, but he is the eternal Spirit. He is the eternal Spirit, and he began to speak. And when he spoke, that was the Word. And that Word was identified as the Son. And so when he said, "Let us create man in our image," he was talking about the Spirit and the Word. The Father and the Son now began to create, began to speak, and bring into creation all the things that was in his mind before the foundation of the world. That's right. Let's read it again. See? They did that, see, because of this. Because he did die. They said he couldn't die. He couldn't be deity and die. The man, the body, was not deity. But deity was in the body. This body has to perish. The very Christ that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. The very Christ, the very anointing, the very Spirit that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. That's deity, God in you. Praise be to God. That's right. See, now notice, the same as now, they reject identified deity. Now, this goes right back to what we were talking about on Wednesday night, when Brother Branham said he does these things that have never failed to prove to you and to prove to me, to prove to the world that it identifies Jesus Christ, the manifestation, the promise, the prophecy, all that God had in his mind for this day and this hour, the word of our day, the message of our day that's being displayed. These things are identifying the presence of God so the people can know that deity is in flesh in this day, in this hour. See, they reject identified deity. Do you get it? They will certainly put their name on a church book and say, "I'll try to live by this creed." They'll take an oath by this, see? But when it comes to accepting deity and expressing back the same kind of gift like they did, see? That you are identified by your gift. You're identified by it. And what did he say our gift was? Our body's a living sacrifice. That we are fully surrendered. We're identified by it. We're identified that we have become one with him by this message, by this revelation, that you give your entire being to it, to identified deity. See? And it's identified in you. He's identifying himself with you. That's right. As Brother Branham said many times, he said, you don't accept him. He accepts you. That's the difference. Then you identify yourself with the deity, see, by giving all that you are, what you are, to deity himself. Praise be to God. That's right. You give your entire being to it. You give your entire life to it. It's a complete surrender. You're identifying yourself with it. He's identifying himself with you. You become one in that identification. It's deity being identified. And that deity is living in you. And that's why Brother Branham said, the only way the world will ever see God today is to see him in you. That's right. That's where he's at. That's where he's living. He's not going to be anywhere else. See, now Christ in this day that we now live in, see, identifying himself, deity among the people. He's still deity because he is the Word. And when we see the Word living itself out, then we know that man can't do that. Praise God. That's a big amen. We can't do it. And every time I see him make these statements, I just want to say amen. Because there's too many people still think, even though they'll say these very words, But they still think that it's God doing it and them. No. No. You're dying to everything you can do. It's 100% Him taking over the vessel. That's the whole point. That's the living sacrifice. Is that this mind is completely surrendered. This body is completely surrendered. And we come to that realization. That's the reason that prophet could sit on the platform and the preacher in the pulpit say, Brother Branham was not able to make it here. He had some other commitments. And so we have some other people to speak. Yada, yada, yada. And Brother Branham's sitting right there. And this preacher's depending on that the people don't know. That's Brother Branham. And no doubt some of them did know. And those ministers sitting there certainly knew. And Brother Lee Bale sitting beside him certainly did know. And this man had the nerve to right there from the pulpit tell the people that Brother Branham could not come when Brother Branham was sitting there behind him. And Lee Bale's punching him and saying, Brother Branham, stand up. Are you going to let him do this? And that prophet said, Brother Lee, who's doing this? Me or God?
Amen. That's it.
If we can get there, if I can get there, I got a lot to die.
Amen.
I got some more to die.
Amen.
That is powerful. That's powerful. I would just think, if I was on a mission trip, as that prophet was. And I know it's different because that's the gift. But every one of us are to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
But you just think, say, I wanted to go to Kenya. And what if the Spirit of God wanted me to go somewhere else? Or wanted you to go somewhere else? Could he get your attention enough that you would stop and pray and listen and feel the leading of the Spirit to go this way or that way or this way or that way? Paul did. Paul was going one place and God sent him another place. The prophet was going one place and God sent him another place.
That's right.
It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same message. It's the same life living in you.
Right.
It just takes the same surrender. Not that we're not going to be that messenger. Never. I don't want to go there at all. That's different.
Amen.
But God wants a group of people,
yes,
that is so surrendered to Him that He can move them. There used to be a letter or something that came up with Brother Branham, and I have it somewhere. Probably is in there somewhere, and I don't know where. But it talked about, I don't know if Brother Branham wrote it or somebody else wrote it or God spoke it to him and he put it down. But he was talking about, you'll see other people doing this and doing that. And he said, but you can't do that. You can't do it. And he wasn't making those other people non-Christians. He wasn't making those people, but it was because you were walking so close to him that he was holding you to a higher standard. He was holding you to a higher standard. And he wouldn't let you go to those things. And I can't remember much of it, even to paraphrase it, but I can just remember that one part that Brother Branham said, you see these other people doing this and this and this, and he said, you're not able to do that because I've called you. I've spoken to your heart, and I've told you. And I think it's the same thing just with simple things like Christmas. Some people, they're very comfortable to do Christmas and say that Christ is first and maybe have some gifts or maybe have this or have that and still say they believe the message and they have quotes for that. And that's okay. And so I won't argue with those people. If you want to go do the gifts and you want to do all this Christmas stuff, that's up to you. But He's already told me I can't do that.
Amen.
He told me that 40 years ago. 40 years ago, I separated myself from that.
Amen.
Now, far be it for me to go back now. It couldn't be bringing me up for me to go back.
That's right.
Now, some people might think so, but I don't think so. I can't see that at all. And you say, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah, I didn't want to hurt their feelings either. I didn't want to hurt my grandmother's feelings when year after year I told her no, 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 no. So finally, one year I decided, and everybody in the family come against me. Finally, I told them, I said, listen, I've told her every year, don't send me any more gifts. And so I had let it go every year. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. So finally, we were living here. She sent them here, and I packaged them up, and I sent them back. And everybody in the family was upset with me. That's what it took to finish it. You say, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, I could have just kept going on and on and on. But in my eyes, that was more of a witness to every one of them that I don't believe in Christmas, and I don't believe Christ was born on Christmas Day. I don't believe it. That was more of a witness than if I would have continued to take gifts and take gifts and take gifts, because eventually, in their eyes, I was a hypocrite. I was a hypocrite preaching against something, but I was good with the gifts. I was good to get something free. I was good to get the present. And that's just about what it is. And there's, and I have had times over the years on the job, even Brother Michael and I, have had customers that come out and give us something, at Christmas time, and just take it and not say a word. Just take it and not say a word. And then I've had opportunities where I could talk to them and explain to them. I can remember I worked over here at Arnell Homes, and I was working late. It was right at Christmas time, and the owner of the company had come through the plant, was coming out the door, and so I was sitting there on the bench. I think, I don't remember if I was eating my lunch or what, but we got to talking, and he just stopped by chance. You know, I'd never talked to him, and he just stopped and started talking to me. And so they were giving everybody a turkey, and he said, "Did you get your turkey?" And I said, "No, sir." I said, "I don't celebrate Christmas." And he said, "Well, you can still have the turkey." And I said, "Well, if it wasn't a Christmas present," I said, "If it wasn't a Christmas present," I said, "I'd take it." I said, "If it was just an end of the year bonus or something like that," I said, "But if it's a Christmas present," I said, I don't celebrate Christmas." And so I just, you can look at it more than one way. And so for me, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that way.
That's right.
Now, Christ in this day that we're now live, identifying himself, deity among the people, he's still deity because he's the Word. And when we see the Word living itself, when we see the Word living itself, then we know that man can't do that. It's deity, the Word, being made manifest by man. And Jesus said himself, the Son can do nothing in himself. I can't do nothing. I'm a man. And Jesus said, but my Father that dwelleth in me, he showeth me all things that himself doeth. That's what's happening to us. He's showing us what he himself is doing. Amen. There you are. What is it? Deity being identified in man. Praise God. Now the same thing is today, that deity, the promised word for this day, can identify itself in you. Amen. Then can you hold to it? See, show that you believe in it. Give it deity, believe it, service. Be ready to die out to yourself and your thoughts. But today, it's rejected, as it was then. That's right. Oh, it's rejected. Notice, God guided those magi with them gifts. For practically 2 years, they followed that star, see? And that shows it couldn't be one of the natural things that happened. Now, when I think about this, that those magi seen a star, a supernatural star, and they followed it for 2 years. Now, why would God let that go for 2 years? And how would those men have such a faith? It was faith. It had to be faith. How did they have such a determination that they're going to see a star, and now they're going to have some kind of ability, some kind of determination to think this star is the star and they're going to follow it for 2 years. And I think about those timings. I think about the timing of Abraham waiting 25 years, getting a promise and waiting 25 years for a baby. I think of Noah getting a promise and waiting 120 years, testifying of this thing for 125 years, testifying of it. That's quite an astounding thing. And then getting in that ark and it not raining day after day after day. You know, in this day and age, everything is right now, right now, right now. People don't want to wait. People want it, and they want it right now. I had a woman tell me that one time. I worked for her husband over the years many times, and she had asked me about doing something. And he I don't know where he was, but she had some project in mind. And I said, yeah, but she said, well, I said, well, yeah, but you need to do this and this and this. And she said, no, 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 I just want it. She said, I'm into instant gratification. I just laughed. I said, well, you can get that some other way, you know. But usually that's not the best way to go. If you want something that's going to last, it's going to take time to do it right. So they followed this star for 2 years. And that shows it couldn't be one of them natural things that happened. See, that's right. Now, paragraph 97, dropping down. Now, God guided the Magi because they had the right gifts. Now, that's a good thing, isn't it? They had the right gifts. How did they know what to have? And why doesn't the churches today bring the right gift? Why don't they? Because they don't know what the right gift is. It had to be revealed. Why didn't Abel bring the right gift? He didn't know what it was. Why didn't Cain bring the right gift? He didn't know what it was. Abel knew the right gift. And so does the bride know today the right gift is a complete surrender. It is a living sacrifice. It is God living in your flesh. God guided these wise men because they had the right identified gift. What was their gift going to do? Identify his son. Oh my. Do you get it? See, and wise men today, wise men in the name of the Lord, not with some fictitious something, but with the gift that God promised for this day. See, and what does it do? It's going to identify God today. When you come with the right gift today, you are going to identify Jesus Christ in your flesh. Amen. Praise God. That's what it's all about. That's what this whole thing has been about. From the very beginning, from the fall of Adam, was to bring it back to full manifestation in a many-membered body. Amen. That's right. And then that's where we're at. And God has worked it so perfectly right through the ages, building that body and now capping it now with the fullness of the word, the fullness of himself to manifest the fullness in this last days. God will guide you to identify that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There you are, wise men. Praise God. God guided those gifts because they were the gifts to identify him. There's the secret. There's the secret. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. That's what's been happening all the time. God revealing, revealing, revealing. And that's why Brother Branham said, and this is real to the elect. This is real. Brother Branham said he knew a guy one time that read the book of Revelation and said John must have ate a beta peppers and had a bad dream. No, you don't have a bad dream. You're reading and realizing what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. You're recognizing what God was doing all the time, revealing himself. See, wise men today who can look away from churchianity. Oh my, we got so much of that. And all the things of the world to the living word of God. And God will identify his son by his word. Because that's what he is. I and my Father are one. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the same Word today, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a wise man follows that, see? Because that's what God takes care of to identify himself by it. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. A real gift, a real identified gift of God. God brings that to the earth, a thing like that to identify himself by. Praise be to his name. That's what we're here for. That's what God had in his mind. That's what God has been displaying. That's what this covenant is all about. That's what the eternal covenant was. Even those in part, they were expressing him in part. But there was coming a time that the fullness was going to come forth. And that fullness is the fullness of what he had in his mind. And that's how Christ was identified, by gold and myrrh and frankincense, by them men foreshadowing and typing. See, showing in type that his life was to be. They were showing it in type. They were showing it in part. See, deity manifested for service, to die that he might redeem the nation, because he was to save his people from their sin. Not save the world, save his people from their sin. The Bible said here, for in his name will the Gentiles trust. See? The Gentiles will trust in his name. Amen. In other words, the bride, the call out of the Gentiles, will be trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. In his name shall the Gentiles trust. That's right. Not now God guided them. The gifts that they were giving were fitting to the time. God and God, Brother Branham said that God, the Spirit of God, comes in every age to anoint the word of that age. And in every age, the Spirit of God doesn't anoint anything else except the promise of that day. That's why he said those seals could not be revealed in Luther's day or Wesley's day or even Pentecost day, because the Spirit could not quicken it before it came time to quicken it. And the Spirit can only move according to the mind of God. Amen. What God had in his mind, that's what's taking place. See? See, he divided his word. Now notice, as I've said, God divided his word at the beginning in Genesis. I can take Genesis and show you every age in the Bible and down to this age here. All the cults and things that we have today, I can show you exactly where they was in Genesis. That's the amen. I think every one of us are aware of that. I think we all know how it's identified, who it's identified by. We see those three sons of Noah. We see them coming, and those spirits and those perversions and those false words, and they're here today. They're here, and it's worldwide. Those deceptions, they're here, and it's worldwide. God gave his word so much here, and so much here for each age. And then he sent a prophet down, anointed to make the word come to pass. And it supports the other one that was coming, see? See, like the Messiah always supported every prophet in his own life, his own being, the word that was given for that day. He come and he fulfilled that written word, foretold of what the other one was going to be. That's what they were doing. Constantly talking about another part of the body, another part of the body that was coming to manifestation, that was coming to realization, that was coming, in the mind of God, coming to be on display. And every one of them spoke of him. Amen. Because he was the fullness. See? He was the head of the prophets. He was the word of God. He was the prophet. See? Amen. There he is. Notice how wonderful what he was, each one of those prophets. See? He was the fullness. And when he come, he was the fullness of all the prophets manifested. Huh? All of them together. Huh? Each one of them was displaying a part of him, but he was all of them. Right there. That's why the fullness of everything is in him. So is it with the bride, the body that was building and building and building. Every one of them was part of the body. But he's the fullness. And all the fullness in him. It was all in him. You were in him. The bride was in him at Calvary. She was there. Amen. She was poured out. He was manifest. He was the fullness of all the prophets manifested. because they were the word of the Lord. And he said himself, if you call those gods who the word of God come to, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? Amen. That's right. Huh? They were gods. See, even those in that age was identified as gods. God called them himself gods. Amen. What were they? They were manifestations of his word. And here was he, the fullness of the word, deity embodied, deity manifested in the flesh. That's right. Watch for these gifts now that these men brought. They couldn't have brought that to a prophet. It wouldn't have been right, see? Them gifts wouldn't have went to Elijah. They couldn't have went to Moses. They had to come to him. And being those gifts were strictly meant for that day, see? And was to identify who he was by these gifts. Now, he has repeated that over and over and over again. And that's what he's done in every age. He's put gifts on the earth. And those gifts are identifying him. And you're that gift. He put you here to identify him, to manifest him. And that gift that's in you is to minister to one another. It's to minister to this age. It's to minister to the lost. It's to minister to the undone. It's to minister to those that don't know him, who can't see him, who have failed to recognize him. That's what the gift is for, to help the people that you come in contact with. Then here come God along and protected him. See? And keep them 2 years. 2 years they traveled. Can imagine? How do they eat? Huh? Where do they get the money? What do they do? How, you know, it just, God kept them.
That's right.
Just like Wednesday night, Brother Branham said, when Jonah was going the other way, he said, God was in the boat. God was in the storm. God was in this. God was in that. God was in everything. Getting the gift to Nineveh.
That's right.
He took him right there. He had to get him in that fish. That's the way. That was the way. So he went the other way to bring judgment, because God uses judgment. He uses judgment to bring down the ungodly nation. At the same time, he's bringing the believer to the place he wants them to be. That judgment is not judgment to us. It's just a vehicle God's using.
Amen.
That judgment that was on Israel, it moved them to where God wanted them. God moved them back to their homeland to fulfill prophecy, to fulfill those things. And all of those millions and millions of Jews, they're not the elect. But there is an elected Jew within. And all the millions and millions of message churches, they're not the elect. Many are called, but few are chosen. And God has an elected group that he has sealed in.
Amen.
Sealed in. And it can't be touched. The Spirit is protecting them. It's leading them, guiding them.
Amen.
That's right. See, God, and then here come God along and protected them and kept them 2 years down there until they found the perfect light. How fitting. That's right. Same thing today. We got people that's just as loyal, nice people, genuine people. But you see in that, there's going to be something come forth that God's always done to identify this day. This is the day when these things are spoken to happen. There won't be many, just very, very few that'll be saved. The Bible said so. There'll be just a handful. That's right. That's right. Paragraph 105. Now, as it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved. Eight souls, see, of a generation likened to this. As it was in the days of Noah. What was it? Great cultured people, great workers, great builders, great everything they had, made this civilization just like it. Great things that they had. See, Brother Branham talked about a brother that said that it bothered him when Brother Branham talked to those things. Said it really floored him. And talking about there was only eight in the whole world. In the whole world. In the days of Noah. And Brother Branham said, you only got an eighth of the picture. He said, that was a type of the church that was carried over. He said, the bride, the elect, there was only one.
Amen.
That was Enoch. Only one went in the rapture in that day.
Right.
There's only one going in today, too.
Amen.
And it's that body. It's that one body. That's the only one.
Right.
She's going in. And she's just one. She's not two. Like Brother Branham talked about David's wives.
Yep.
He said he only had one until he took Bathsheba. He only had one. He said all of those women was his wife, singular.
Yep.
And so is it with the bride. It's one wife, singular.
Amen.
That's right. It's a unit. It's a body. And God is moving it. It's moving by the head. That's the way God wants it to be. Now, I'm closing with this. Now, and this is in the Church Ages book, and it's been read many times, and I love it so much. And it goes right with this, what we're reading this morning. Now, in very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally. Though, I know, how long was she in there? Eternally. Eternally. See? Though not expressed until each one came forth in the designated decreed season. Yeah, there came a time she was expressed. But she was in his mind eternally.
Amen.
Thus, this bride became expressed and took place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she's feminine in designation, she's also called the body of Christ. It's very apparent that she ought to be called that. For she was predestinated in him.
Amen.
Now, what is he? He's the fullness of all things.
Yes,
and all the fullness is in him.
Amen.
All of it. All of it's in him.
Yes.
That's right. See? And was eternal with him and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body, whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to back up now, and I want to get that one part there again. For she was predestinated in him, come from the same source, came from the same source, and was eternal with him.
Amen.
There is only one form of eternal life,
that's right.
And that's him. And that's what's in the bride.
That's right.
You're not going to make it something different. You can't make it anything different because it's the same source. It's the same thing. She was in him. He's the fullness of all things, and she was a part of that fullness. See, now then, here we are coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos, God, was manifested in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifested in flesh, thereby gained the title of Son. Now you see the Godhead's perfectly right there. Perfectly right there. That eternal one was manifested in flesh. And he was given the title of Son.
That's right.
It's a title. See? Not a different person. Even so we, eternal in his thoughts. Huh? I want it to soak. Eternal in his thoughts, in our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed,
yes,
manifest in flesh.
Amen.
And those eternal thoughts, now manifest in flesh, are the sons of God.
Amen.
They're given the same title he was given. The same title. See? But this isn't eternal. No.
Amen.
That's just a title. But that eternal life is in them. Because they were eternal with him of the same eternal source, the same eternal thoughts, now being manifested in a body of flesh that's called the Son of God. And so that's what it is. It's God manifested in flesh. See, now manifested in the flesh are the sons of God, even as we are so called. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. Huh? That's that source.
That's right.
That seed is the source of eternal life. It is that germ of life that came out of him and is manifested in flesh, known as the sons of God. We were seed, and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened.
Amen.
In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken.
That's right.
Praise God. Now, hold this carefully in mind and take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. This is not going out and buying something. This is a restoring of something. It's bringing back. That's what redemption is, bringing back. Not going to get something new. It's bringing back. God, by his death, the shed blood, brought back his own. Huh? He brought back his own. He brought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow me. You always were sheep. You were never a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. Never. You never were a pig. You never were anything else but a predestinated seed in the mind of God, eternal with him. That's what you always were. It doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an ending, so you can't put a start and stop. Only thing that happened is that thought of God dropped down in time, was manifested in these veils of flesh, and then one day, because they were seed, they were quickened and recognized where they came from. And then they were brought back to that realization of where they came from. And now they're walking around on the earth with the perfect realization that they are a son and daughter of God to manifest God on the earth in this last days. That's what they're here for. That's what they were predestinated for. That's what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Praise be to God. See? That's so you never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That is impossible. For every kind of life produces the same kind, and there's no change in species. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word, and hearing that voice would become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God, that we heard his voice, and we cried out, as did the prodigal son, "Save me, O my Father, I'm returning to thee." This is what we are screaming. We're returning to thee, Father. That prodigal son, he had to go a long ways to realize that he was a son of God and not a son of this natural life with righteous living and all of the filth and all of that. He came to the realization, my Father's house is better than this. And we've come to the realization that we came from heavenly places. We came from the mind of God. And now God has quickened the seed. Now we have recognized it. And now we have returned. And so that returning is at the new birth. You have become one with him. It's not going to be somewhere else, some other time, some future time. When you are born again, the seed is quickened to life. And then you, as he has just spoken here, you recognize that you are a son of God and that you cry out, I'm returning to thee. Because that's what redemption is bringing you back to where you always was. And that was in him. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we lift up your lovely name for these great things, Lord, that stir our hearts. Lord, to know without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that the voice that has cried out in this last day, Lord, that it's true and that it's you. It's not a man. It's not theology. It's not a man's thoughts or a man's ideas or what a man could put together. But Lord, it is revelation. Lord, it's a quickening. It's what you had in your mind, Lord, before the foundation of the world that was going to bring it down to the real thing, the fullness, Lord, of all of those thoughts, the fullness of what was in your mind to be manifested on the earth in the last day. Lord, all of those covenants along the way, they were testifying of this. They were testifying of this day. They were testifying of the eternal, Lord, of where we were going back to, where we had fell from, where Adam had fell from. Lord, going back now to you once again. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. We commit each one to you. Lord, we appreciate all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I didn't mention Sister Esther. I know Brother Michael mentioned her and prayed for her, and I appreciate that. I just want to reiterate what he said, that she has really, when she was so tired, she's drove all the way up here, and then sometimes struggle, but she put forth the effort over and over to be here, and I admire that so much, and I appreciate that so much. And when it'd be so easy just to go lay down, she's really put forth the effort. And so now when she's having bad nights, she doesn't get any rest. She needs to try to get some rest. It's really, she can fall asleep on the road, and we don't want that to happen. So we know that she's been a testimony for Christ, and we don't want Satan to have any opportunities to hold her back. So may the Lord strengthen her and bless her and continue to bless her work and give her everything that she needs. And also for Sharon, we want to continue to hold her up in prayer. The Lord will get her back, get her in the heavenly places. That's where we want her, is right there walking every day with him. And so she's been doing really good, and we thank God for that. So we just... we have one desire, and that's to see that new birth, to take her and just put her in love with him. Amen. So we thank God for that. So God bless you now as we dismiss in the name of the Lord. Amen.